Hello, this is Glenn Krause from Wiser Wednesdays Experience Speaks, founder of Core CDI, in conjunction with my colleague organization, AE and Associates, out there in Los Angeles County, Arnold Oliveira. My heart goes out to all the people in California, particularly LA County, busting at the seams with what are they hearing on public radio today? 10 people per minute being diagnosed with COVID. Not good. So I'm lucky to have today Tiffany Brady as a guest. So she's a registered nurse in upstate New York who currently works as a nurse navigator in primary care. Her experience in nursing has included inpatient orthopedics, telemetry, med-surg, and procedural nursing across four states. She worked as a charge nurse in Hawaii and Texas before returning to New York with her family. She earned her Bachelor of Science in Nursing in 2014 and began her role as a clinical documentation specialist directly after. At first, she found a new position very different from her previous nursing roles, and she was a bit challenged and frustrated while learning the role. After 3 months, however, she realized the opportunities available in the position for the patients and her organization, as well as herself. Wanting to grow her education and career, she enrolled in the Nursing Leadership Administration Program in 2016 and earned her Master's of Science in Nursing in March of 2020. She achieved a GPA of 4.0, impressive, and graduated with distinction. After putting off her CCDS during her master's, she obtained that certification this past December, just before Christmas. While her current role is in the outpatient setting, her love of CDI and continuing education keep calling to her. Two achievements she values very much were being awarded the Virginia Henderson Award for Lifelong Learning in 2014 from her bachelor's program, and being appointed quarterly to the president's list consecutively through her master's program. In her free time, Tiffany enjoys hiking, traveling, gardening in her yard, and making memories with her loving family and friends. So welcome to the show.
Hi, Glenn. Thank you so much for having me.
No problem. Tiffany, I'm glad you're here. Boy, you got an illustrious background, certainly, and in the healthcare field, and you were able to experience Hawaii. How long were you in Hawaii as a charge nurse?
I was there for 3.5 years.
Oh, great! You must have enjoyed the beaches. Were you right there on the close to the beach?
The beaches are beautiful. Yes, I was on Oahu.
Oh, wonderful! All right, so you know, thank you very much again for being on the podcast after taking after working a busy day. So I wanted to ask a few questions of you. You know, I think we connected, Tiffany, because you made a comment in one of my many LinkedIn posts about lifelong continual learning, and I also commented on your CCDS certification and said, welcome to the CDI role. I hope you don't think the credentials is the ending point of CDI, if you remember. So you really caught my attention because you said lifelong learning. So I wanted to kind of go over how did you step into arrive? I think you touched on this a little bit, but how did you step into arrive at a career in CDI? Were you having a colleague that was or a friend of yours, or you just happened to see your advertisement? What's up with that?
Well, I had been in the GI lab working procedures, and
oh, great.
I decided I wanted to get my bachelor's degree. So I had enrolled for the bachelor's program back in 2012, mm-hmm. and we did 2 evenings a week at the hospital. We had a cohort contract with one of the universities here in upstate New York.
Okay.
And those evenings, I sat next to a nurse who was very persistent trying to convince me to try out the CDI thing that she had been doing.
Right.
And she was an associate's degree nurse at that point, just like I was, and we were working towards a bachelor's program.
Okay.
And what happened was she was grandfathered into the program because she got in the very beginning before they had designed any policies for the team. But I, at that point, would have been required to get my bachelor's degree. So as soon as I graduated with the bachelor's, I applied actually with Pam, you know, Pam Shapley, and she took me on and under her wing, and I had no idea what I was getting myself into, but if not for that persistent RN in my class, I never would have known about it.
Oh, you owe a lot to that colleague of yours. So that sounds interesting. So what continues your interest? I know you said, you mentioned in your bio that you're in the outpatient nurse navigator arena, but you still have a tremendous interest for CDI. So what continues your interest in the profession?
Well, at first it was very hard for me to grasp the concept of CDI because it was stepping away from the patient's bedside and away from direct patient care. And I think I was most frustrated with not being able to lay on hands and, you know, do the whole assessment and be with my patients. But when I finally understood the concept of CDI and realized that I could contribute to the care of the patients by making sure that the documentation was straight, that's really what drew me in and kept me in the clutches, I guess, of CDI. Mainly, I think that the drive for me is that I want to improve the quality of care being given through the documentation and through the communication with the clinicians and the providers to really try to improve that quality of care that they're receiving while they're with us.
And do you think, speaking of quality of care, do you, what are your thoughts on the current CDI model of focusing primarily on diagnosis? Is that something I've been trying for years? In fact, someone commented on a post. I don't even remember the post. It was an actual blog. It was 4 years ago. I'm still talking about the same thing. It's really, what are your thoughts? Why is the industry not moving into the direction of focusing on the quality of documentation? We're emphatically focused on one thing, seeking diagnosis. What are your thoughts?
I definitely understand what you're saying and how, you know, I think initially we were all trained to pick up those CCs and MCCs, grasp as many as we can and query for as many as we can.
Yep.
And I think what's happened is perhaps we're not rolling out enough education to drive it towards clinical validation and quality of documentation. I really think we get stuck. And we're not supposed to talk about reimbursement, but all we are getting driven by is reimbursement. You know, like on the back end, I think that our programs really need to be refocused so that it's driving the quality of care. And we're sitting down with our providers and providing them the education they need to understand why we want to have these conversations with them to improve their documentation, thereby improving the communication and that quality of care piece.
Wow, I love that's music to my ears.
I do. I really harp on this a lot, and I really think that our communication kind of is in a stagnant piece right now. I think that it could be improved so much more between inpatient and outpatient settings. I know that like our outpatient CDI is still just kind of in its infant stages for a lot of us, but I feel like they should be going hand in hand even. Like, I don't know that we necessarily want to be splitting out departments and having a separate outpatient CDI versus a separate inpatient CDI. We really need to be working together in order to improve that holistic vision of the documentation.
You know, a lot of the, and do you think, you know, a lot of my colleagues think, okay, that the KPIs, the task-based KPIs that we get measured, you mentioned reimbursement reimbursement, CCMC3 translating into case mix index and additional revenue. Do you think that's a detraction from actually working on improving the communication of care? You know, number of queries left, number of charts reviewed. Does that have any correlation, or is that a detraction from actually working with physicians to improve the communication and spending time with physicians as opposed to seeing them as targets, sending queries repetitively?
Yeah. You know, I think KPIs are initially created to make sure that we're doing the best job that we can. You know, like make sure that we're moving up through our ladders and really trying to strive for that, you know, best practice. I believe in them. I believe that you know, key performance indicators are important in order to move up associates, move up your staff in CDI. I think it's mm-hmm. great. I think it's great to keep them on track. But I agree with, I think, maybe your thought process that when we're constantly trying to get 30 charts a day or have to make sure you get a certain percentage of your charts queried or making sure that you're getting as many responses as you can, we're maybe like forgetting about that quality piece. And when it comes down to it, that's really what we're supposed to be doing, is making sure that they're getting the quality care. And if it's falling out in the documentation, they're probably not getting the best quality care that they can.
No, I don't think I agree. And look at all the denials. I've been looking at denials today. Mm-hmm. I was in denials heaven, looking at medical necessity denials, clinical validation denials. There was someone on a listserv, a RAC listserv, that posted, hey, we just notified that the OIG is going to be doing a compliance review on our malnutrition cases. Any advice? So I posted on there, it'd be interesting lesson to see how many of these cases that they selected that had malnutrition, severe protein, calorie, or some type of malnutrition, were actually queried by the CDI people. Because in some instances, I feel very strongly that CDI contributes to compliance risk. Because we're focusing on the clinical indicators, Tiffany, and we're not focusing upon the actual clinical information that supports the clinical indicators, it gives carte blanche to payers to not have to pay. It's like, you know, the old T system, you know, you put the ball on the T ball when I was growing up and you hit the ball.
Yeah.
Well, that's what we're doing. We're putting the CCMCC on the capture on the T ball, and the payers are knocking it out of the park. Are you seeing that in your facility too?
You know, I think it's been there for a long time. We've been warned for, going back a few years now that I can remember that malnutrition was going to be started to be taken away from us because we really needed to prove that it's there. It's not just grabbing an albumin level and waving it in the provider's face and having them write severe protein calorie malnutrition. I think that, again, this goes back to the education piece. Like, we can list out a bunch of things that we can make our CDS look for in all the charts. Or push on our providers. But unless we really understand the diagnosis as a CDS and really understand what's supposed to be there to support it, we're putting ourselves out there to be hung out. It's not enough just to have the diagnosis written down. We have to know, are they cachectic? Was there, you know, muscle wasting? Are there, you know, edema in the subcutaneous? We have to be able to prove that these diagnoses are there and they're being treated. Our dietitians, you know, if I'm going to go on about the malnutrition piece, our dietitians are our greatest supporters in this. But again, I could harp on it. I do. I think that we're only given ourselves enough information to hang us out to dry at this point. And I believe that's where the education comes into play. For our teams, you know, for our programs. It's so important.
I've seen cases where we have sepsis, okay?
Uh-huh.
And the cases of sepsis, and the doctor says alert Noreen times three and no acute distress. It's like, have you seen that really now? Or or a patient alert Noreen times three, alert Noreen times three, fully nourished, well developed. Then we got protein, calorie, and malnutrition. Do you think?
Right. Right, because you're using our templates incorrectly, because they're just hitting, you know, copy and paste all the time, and they're
not really
reading. Yeah, it's sad.
Yeah, exactly. I had one that said, sepsis with acute encephalopathy. The constitutional physical exam, Tiffany said, alert and orient times three, sitting on the edge of the bed, just finished eating a double cheeseburger with a large order of fries, resting comfortably. Do you think that's acute encephalopathy with sepsis? That was like, okay, hello.
I mean, at least nothing that resolved.
Something ain't right there, you know? Hey, a couple other things. Okay, we talked a little bit earlier about this, lifelong learning. That was, you received a couple of awards. What's your message to CDI professionals, whether they're CCDS or TDIP? Can they do it? What's the message for them to continually learn? Because I think I'm sensing, based on my conversation with several colleagues and just the industry as a whole, not individually but collectively, that we just go to get our CEUs so we can maintain our credentials. And you know, as a lifelong learner, that's not sufficient.
You know, Glenn, even if I were to just break it down by, you know, our rules and regulations, our guidelines and CDI, those mm-hmm. change quarterly, you know. And I don't know about you, but I'm constantly printing out a new article, trying to grasp all these new ideas, especially right now in times of COVID and all the things that are changing fluidly, mm-hmm. Daily, if not more often than that. You have to stay on top of all these changes alone. Like, that's not enough to me for CEUs. That, like, we could do 20 hours of CEUs and not learn a thing. You know what I mean? I am probably, if you looked back on my high school career, you
yeah.
probably would not have expected me to push through to get a master's degree. I certainly remember coming out of my ADN program and thinking, oh, I'm not going for my bachelor's.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, and that was back in the day when New York State was pushing BSN by 2010. I think they were started, and now it's like, okay, well, you have 10 years to get it. And I would suggest that everybody just roll out of their ADN program and go straight to their bachelor's and just keep pushing and moving forward. And I think that really, it really does have a part to play in CDI, because we can't just be complacent and constantly just grab for those CCs and MCCs. There are so many changes that happen.
That's
and
right.
So much more that we need to be on top of. I think that it behooves an organization to create clinical ladder or career ladder for their CDI program, to really encourage their team to just keep moving forward, keep getting that education. I don't think that we can just sit and have programs that are developed and just rely on the initial education that's rolled out.
Absolutely.
I think that organizations need to bring in educators, or at least have an educator on their staff to be providing the CDI staff new information weekly. That's what we used to do. It was a weekly program that we had that we'd each present to each other, you know, new ideas, new topics. I mean, thinking back even just to 2014 when I started, mm-hmm. We wouldn't have thought about HACs and PSIs being involved with CDI. And now that's one of our driving indicators, you know, looking to make sure that that's a truthful diagnosis as a HAC or a PSI before it rolls out. that's important for, you know, the metrics of the hospital, the quality of care the patient's receiving. We can't just rest on our laurels anymore. It's something that we constantly need to be cognizant of. That education is huge.
Absolutely. And if you just briefly, if you saw my article in the ICD-10 Monitor last Tuesday, I authored a piece on was it last week or the week before? I don't remember. They all weeks seem to go together. The 14 Toyota principles of lean manufacturing, and I quoted three of them. And one of them is one of the principles is to continue to grow your teammates. So I really am a strong believer in CDI leaders need to grow their programs and grow their people and not just rest on the laurels, as you said, of measuring KPIs, because we're way past that. We need to really, as a profession, graduate from that. That's like that to me. The last couple of comments here, Tiffany, is like, okay, that's the training wheels. Let's get off our training wheels. It's like, remember learning how to ride a bike? Or for me, skiing, a few days on the bunny slope, all right. Or learning how to swim, just get in and try it. I grew up in Maine, and the water was like 55 degrees, lived right on the ocean in Camden. So people say, hey, you must love the ocean. No, I don't. What do you mean? It's like 56 or 60 degrees. You're lucky in the summer. So what do? Go in slowly? Heck no. I jump right in there and stay as long as I can and get out. It's the same thing with CDI. We just need to roll up our sleeves, get off our training wheels. So any closing remarks for the listeners? Anything you want to kind of drive home, Tiffany?
You know, just keep pushing forward. You know, find out what drives you. What is your motivation? And if you really love what you're doing in CDI, that alone should make you want to do your best. Do your best work. You know, push for that good communication, and really keep in mind that we're doing more than just getting those CCs and MCCs, but that we're creating the opportunity to improve the quality of care of our patients.
Great. So, Tiffany, thank you so much for your time. I hope you're staying safe. Are you working in the hospital or are you working from home?
I'm in the outpatient primary care.
Oh, okay. So I'm sure you're busy wearing that mask all the time.
All the time.
So thank you, Tiffany. I hope people have found this interesting. A couple of things. If you go to your favorite podcast, whether it's Anchor FM or iTunes or whatever, there are 14, I think we're up to 15 with this, Wiser Wednesday podcast. We have quite a few interesting speakers, physicians, CDI professionals like Tiffany. There was one recently with a person who's involved in compliance, and we were talking about compliance risk with potential with CDI, with all the data mining and data analytics and groupings and claims matching. So please check it out and go to our core-cdi.com for some additional articles and resources. So Tiffany, thanks again for your time. And everyone, be careful, be healthy. Happy New Year to everyone.